And that was the voice of, I should say, retired comedian Georgia Ragsdale, who has toured nationally as a comedian for over 14 years. She's acted in film and TV. She's been in Never Met Picasso with Margot Kidder, Wave Babes, TV appearances, The Ellen Show. She even slummed it with me years ago. We did a two-woman show called A Drunk Walks Into a Bar, a Christmas special. And joining us in the studio right now, Georgia Ragsdale.
Because nothing says Christmas like being drunk.
It's the only way to get through it. How are you?
I'm very good, except being retired, it's weird. Nobody laughs at me anymore.
Oh, no.
And I'm still saying the same funny things.
They just don't laugh anymore?
It's perspective. You're a comic. Oh, you're going to say something funny. You're a retired comic. You've lost it.
You must not be funny anymore.
You're no longer humorous.
And what have you been doing since your retirement from showbiz?
Well, you know, a lot of people say they retire so they can spend more time with their family, but I've really tried to stay away from those people. And it's given me a lot of chance to volunteer more, not for any organized groups, just on my own. Like if I see a man wearing sandals, I like to help him, show him where to get a pedicure before he wears the sandals. Women who wear too much perfume, cheap perfume, you know, I tell them not to. Just walk up to a stranger, hey, you know, that doesn't smell good. Children who scream in restaurants, I teach them how to sit on their hands and do the little zip gesture across their mouths. That really works with kids. So just, you know, doing my part to help improve society one person at a time.
I remember you one time, you know, I think it was in, was it in Wave Babes where the line about, ooh, you smell good. Like, you smell like Bounce or something. What was that?
Yes, the lesbian perfume.
Bounce.
Yeah, Bounce. You know you're a lesbian when you sprayed Febreze on your clothes while you're wearing them.
What was it like when you worked with Margot Kidder?
Well, it was before that whole Glendale woodpile missing teeth thing happened. But, you know, I've come to realize that she really was doing a self-medicating because she had mental issues. And now I just see that everywhere. I had no clue that was going on. But apparently, if you look around, there's at least 1 in 10. So if it's not 9 of your friends, it's probably you.
What are some of the signs?
When your bridge falls out, you glue it back in with super glue. And then you immediately go have a pitcher of frozen margaritas so that it falls out again.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah. That's your first clue.
That's a good clue. You know, the weirdest thing, back in 1999, we were talking about this yesterday, when I came to stay with you for a couple of days and ended up there a month, but luckily for you, you were traveling a lot.
Right. Yeah, it was not a burden at all because I wasn't home.
And I was... you know, rocking back and forth in a ball, and I was watching your television, and suddenly you show up on the old Ellen Show, and I didn't even know that you had been on that. What was that like?
Well, it was really funny because it was when Ellen had come out, and they needed somebody even more gay than Ellen to be on the show as a gay person, and so that's how I got cast.
Even more gay than Ellen.
Yeah.
Funny to think of that now that she came out and all of that.
Yeah, I know.
But back in the day, though, you were one of the first openly gay comedians.
You know, I mean, for me, comedy is something that's very personal, and it's really about, a lot of times, how you're vulnerable and then how you win, kind of. That's what it's about. And, you know, for me, being a gay person, that was how I was very vulnerable. And so to try to do comedy without sex, love, dating, relationships, there's really nothing to talk about but cats. And I mean, I did have a couple bits on cats, but it didn't take a whole show.
And what was it about? I remember a long time ago, your comment on lesbian weddings back in the day. What were they like?
Oh, yeah. It was just, you know, getting together in the backyard, hopping over a broomstick, putting out some sprouts and hummus for your friends, and spinning the new Melissa Etheridge CD.
What was her fascination with, what were the her same things, the themes in her songs, Melissa's songs?
Oh, yeah. I got this from a young woman studies major who was doing her thesis on fire and water imagery in Melissa Etheridge songs. And there's quite a lot. I actually made a compilation loop one time of all of the words fire, burning, hot, and water in Melissa Etheridge songs and looped it all together. cutting out the rest of the song, and it was like, fire, burning, smoking, water. I mean, it went on and on. And one of my neighbors was her guitar player, and he found out about it, and he grabbed it from me and busted me and took it on their tour bus and played it. I guess a really bad time. And she was not amused.
Oh, I bet she wasn't. Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was a bad scene.
Back when, because when I first met you, it was around 1995, and you were performing, I believe, was it at The Edge, when Donna Lee had The Edge, and then Drama Club, and all of that, and then Barbie, and all back in the day. But back then, it seemed like there were just like a handful of female comedians that were really touring a lot, and not just gay ones, openly gay ones.
Oh, yeah.
But now there's just like so many, don't you think?
Yeah. And a lot of times people go, well, how come there's not as many gay men performing stand-up comedy? And because, you know, they're allegedly a lot funnier than we are. But I think my theory is the men who would be the comics are writing Broadway shows. They're writing for the movies. They're, you know, doing other things that are much more commercial, whereas, you know, the lesbos just haven't caught on to how to break into showbiz quite yet. And, you know, so we're still touring in, you know, little bars and going around and doing P-Town and that kind of stuff. But, you know, there's a thriving culture, and it's pretty cool. Cause
what about the Olivia Cruises? What's that like?
That's like being trapped on a hotel, in a bad hotel for a week, with people that you don't want to be around.
A lot of them. You did that a good bit, didn't you? Like
I was caught in a stampede for the night buffet thing. Yeah, it's 10:30 at night, dessert buffet, and they just announced it suddenly, and I was caught in this hallway, and I barely escaped.
Like a Who concert.
The Running of the Bulls is what it was. Running of the Bull Dykes.
Do you stay in touch with Leah DeLaria or any of those female comedians?
I'm in touch with some of them, the nice ones. There's a couple.
She's not necessarily one of the nice ones.
No. You know, it's kind of funny. Everyone makes their way, and over time, you really just see like who does what and who ends up where. And you know, it's just you got to make a life at some point, and it's weird. It was like like a journey, you know, like a 14-year episode where I just basically traveled nonstop. And after a point, I just said, you know, I gotta get off the road. This is really, really a hard lifestyle. And I wanted to preserve my skin because I have very few wrinkles. And if you can do something well, you should do it. And I'm preserving that. Yeah.
Well, you were quite successful. Like, you know, you got out probably at the right time, don't you think?
I think so. I mean, it was really funny. Somebody came up to me in 1 year in P-Town, and I've been there for, you know, 6 or 7 years performing, and somebody's like, well, you've been struggling for a long time. And I was thinking, oh, I thought I was doing my career.
Otherwise known as struggling.
Yeah. No, I did fine, you know. It was really, I mean, you know, I did really well doing comedy, and it was fun, but you have to travel nonstop to get the jobs. And after a while, I was like, okay, I'll do the show for free, but you have to pay me to fly to St. Louis.
How
and
did
that's going to cost you.
How did you get started doing that anyway?
Oh, like everybody, I just took it up on a dare. There was an open mic talent show, and somebody was like, do it. You should be funny. Go up there, do it. So I went up there, and I didn't know comics, had material planned, you know, I thought they were just funny. So I get up there, and I was talking about my grandma, and imitating her accent, and my aunt calling me, being like, hi, Georgie. Oh, hi, Aunt Faye. How'd you know it was me? Oh, I can tell by your voice. By my voice? How is that different? I'm like, oh, it is.
You're from Houston, correct?
Yeah, I grew up in Houston, which is it's like the hot, hateful, racially divided oil boom town.
How is it different from Dallas?
Oh, well, Dallas, they're very upscale in Dallas. We have oil money, and they have all money. So that's pretty different. But no, Dallas is very fancy. They have a lot of hair, they have a lot of jewelry and makeup. And Houston's just you know, a lot of overweight people with bad Walmart clothing.
What is it about people in Houston, you know, like when there's a flood or something and you see them on TV?
And oh, yeah, they're the best ones because they're going to rebuild. They're not leaving. This is our home. And, you know, I remember I was flipping through. I was kind of lonesome for home and I'm on the road traveling in a foreign land, New England. And I'm flipping through the TV news and I see this guy. He's got no shirt on. He looks like he's pregnant, you know, that type of build, if you could call it that. And he's standing by this river that's flooding. He's like sucking on his one tooth going, well, when the river commenced to rise, we thought it'd be a good idea if we blowed up the raft and kind of got everybody on it and went down it for a joyride. I see now that it was a bad idea. And he's like, it was kind of fun for a while. We was like going down the river and getting a real good ride, and then we got to this real rough part. It was real swirly. It was like a dust devil up under the water, and he starts crying. That's when the little boy fell in, and it was scary, y'all. My wife just dropped her beer. All three set to the twins, busted out crying. And then they like cut to the person who rescued them, and it's just this impossibly skinny guy that looks really shell shocked from Nam or something, and he's like, well, I just driving across the bridge when I look over and I see that little boy fall in. And I had my boat down there, so I commenced to go get my boat. And I put my boat in the water. And it's come down the river. And then I got this real rough part. It was real swirly, like a dust devil up on the water. And I just reached in for him. And I felt a hold of something. It was a foot. And I grabbed onto it and pulled him out. And boy, I held him way out away from the boat because his head had swirled up with water. And it was, I've seen him pop before, so I hit it way out. And I'm just like, my people. These are my people.
And that's no exaggeration.
No. It happens every flood season. Yeah.
Do you miss performing or tour? Do you miss performing? And that would be different than touring, I would suppose.
You know, I do miss performing. I miss communing with people and just laughing with a lot of people. So I kind of use Facebook for that. Like, I try to tell jokes on Facebook, not every day, but almost every day. And I've got several people that, you know, kind of chime in and look for my jokes and tell me it's nice to have that little bit of continuity. So if you want to friend me on Facebook, I'll friend pretty much anybody.
It's Georgia Ragsdale. You know, when you came here throughout the years, you just had such a big following in Santa Fe. Everybody just really related to you because you've got really keen observation skills, I think, you know?
Well, I think, too, being from Texas, we would come here every year to, like, cool off in August. I know you guys think it's hot in August, but we thought it was cool. So, you know, I have a real affinity with Santa Fe, and I've been coming here since I was a little girl, and I love the place. I think when you love the people and the place, it just really comes through. So you get a connection with those people. So, yeah. And, you know, where else can you go in a small town of 60,000 that can support two Chicos?
Good point. Well, we're going to come back, and I want to ask you some of your observations about what's going on politically right now. But we're going to check out the news, and we'll be right back with Georgia Ragsdale. Okay, if you're just tuning in, we have comedian Georgia Ragsdale visiting from, now you're a resident of Seattle. How do you like
That's
it
right.
there?
Oh, I love it. I drink coffee 2-3 times a day.
Well, you have to, don't you?
Yeah, it's, well, the winters are very dark and a little gloomy with the rain. But I kind of like that because it's such a novel. After living in LA for 15 years where it rains once every 2-3 years for half a day, it's kind of like, ooh, cool, it's raining. Wow, this is awesome.
There must have been a lot of pressure living in LA all those years and being in show business, isn't there?
Yeah, there really was. There's really a lot of what can you do for me? Who are you? Do you know so-and-so kind of stuff going on? And that's to be a bummer after a while because I'm a real person. I want to have real friends. And sometimes that doesn't happen there. You know, you have a TV show, you have all these friends, you don't have a TV show, and nobody wants to talk to you. That's not
that
nice.
That sucks. Speaking of Ellen, I bet she went through that big time years ago, don't you think?
Yeah, she's, you know, she's a friend of the stars. She likes to hobnob with other celebrities, and so I'm sure that was a really dark time for her, you know, when she couldn't get a job, and her show was defunct, and she didn't have her talk show planned or up and running or anything. It wasn't even on the horizon, so that probably was bad. But I don't think we need to feel too bad for Ellen.
No, I don't. Well, of course, you know, the big news, the political race on now.
Getting down to the wire.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about what's going on right now?
I think they should start the next election cycle now, because it's just not gone on long enough,
right? when the whole primaries were going on with the Republicans, what did you think about Michelle Bachmann?
Oh, I really liked her, because it's not every candidate that can remind you of the flying monkeys from The Wizard of Oz.
It was the eyes, wasn't it?
Yeah, and the broom, and just the whole. Canine, rapacious monkey coming to get you kind of thing. Mm-hmm.
So now it's all narrowed down, and we've got Romney.
Yeah. Romney. You know, I'm not going to say he's, you know, they said Al Gore was wooden. He was, you know, stiff kind of a guy, not likable. Well, who can you have a beer with? You know, we couldn't have a beer with Bush because he didn't drink. And now Romney's Mormon. He doesn't drink. But, you know, I don't know. Every time Mitt Romney smiles, in my view, I think a real boy turns back into a wooden puppet. It's just, there's no joy. There's no laughter. There's no warmth. There's no, like, where's the real person? I just, you know, it's not, and it's not like because he's a Republican, I'm saying that, because he's who he is. It's a little frightening.
I think a lot of Republicans aren't really even happy with him, but because so many Republicans are opposed to Obama, they're like, oh, whoever, we don't care.
Yeah, I think, you know, in my view, Obama's biggest problem is that he did not change his name. He should have just said, now that I'm president, I'm going to change my name to Joseph Smith. And that would have just sent them into a conundrum.
They wouldn't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
Well, I want to do a little word association game with you.
Oh, okay, great.
A political word association game.
All right.
Okay. Chair.
Sofa.
Eddie Munster.
Coming out of the closet.
What about the three R's?
The three R's. Three blind mice. Let's go with that.
Three blind mice.
Yeah.
Okay. Medieval birthing chair.
Mitt Romney.
Orangutan.
Sarah Palin.
Speaking of Sarah Palin, what do you think? She's kind of like, you don't really hear that much from her.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Dive. I knew it was a matter of time. The very first second she came out, I'm like, this is going to be a flamethrower, and some kind of flame out will be occurring. And now that Fox News doesn't even want to hire her, she wasn't invited to speak at the convention. It's done.
Oh, nobody wants her.
It's so done. Well, you know, when you have two or three reality shows about your family, I think you're definitely heading in a direction, and it's not one that they want to associate themselves with.
This has nothing to do with politics, but toilet paper roll, under or over?
Oh, over, clearly, is correct. Satan brought the other one.
What do you think about Obama's chances of winning again?
Gosh, I'm no expert. I'm really the armchair observer, but it's going to be a squeaker. I think it's important that people go vote, because if you don't vote, the terrorists win.
A friend of mine was saying the same thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, the registered voter polls versus the likely voter polls are a little alarming, because, you know, basically Democrats are undisciplined, pot-smoking communists. So the day of the vote, they might decide, yeah, I just got some really good stuff in, and we're going to sit at home bake it. It's important not to do that.
Wait till you vote and then go do that.
Yeah, then do it as a celebration of your vote. Yeah, that would be nice.
Now, in Seattle, what's the climate there politically?
Well, Seattle's very liberal. It's got a lot of, you know, good good democratic principles and kind of a sense of fairness. You know, people have a sense like we want everyone to have a fair chance. You know, a lot of people work helping various communities with everything from education to, you know, clothing and opportunities to travel and see nature and, you know, just really help out. And I think that is a great climate for me to be in because, you know, I grew up in Dallas and Houston where it's kind of like, you know, get your guns out. There's a stranger.
And I don't think it's changed much, has it?
I don't think so. No, they really are very, very red. And, you know, they're just a hair's breadth away from Texas secede. And sometimes you kind of want them to. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
No, the Republic of Texas, it's gone. And, you know, they don't have any say in what the rest of us do anymore.
If you're looking at the political map of the United States,
yes.
How does it look to you? Like, if you see, like, the middle and then on the sides?
Yeah, I think, well, you know, as a young gay kid coming out, I kind of looked at that map and said, wow, I've got to get to the sides. I have got, it's almost like God was looking at a map of the United States and just pointed his fingers like a airline flight attendant pointing at the exits. Gay people get to the sides.
It does seem like that.
Yeah, well, think about, you know, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, on the other side, New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., Miami.
Off to the sides.
Got to get to the edge. We've clearly gone as far as we can go. We're on the end of the continent.
Where would there be a country that you would even consider moving to if things shifted in a, you know,
yeah,
more negative?
Oh, like if they started rounding us up and putting us in camps?
Yeah, that
like
one.
That? I think Canada would be pretty close and, you know, certainly to Seattle. It's an hour and a half away. So I could probably bushwhack there if I had to, you know, get your little hiking gear out and put on your little REI hiking boots and head for the woods. Just hope it's not winter because those winters are no joke.
Pretty brutal. Do you ever see yourself performing again?
You know, I do. I'm actually working on a little memoir piece and it's going to be a kind of a little collage of my childhood in Houston, and I hope it'll be funny. I just, you know, theater was my first love, the first thing I started doing, and now that I don't have to do it to make a living, now that I can choose exactly what I want and when I want, and produce it myself, I really have a lot of freedom. And so I'm looking forward to doing a show up in Seattle this January.
And maybe take it on the road?
That I've been working on. I guess I could take it on the road. I have thought about, you know, Santa Fe is a great destination, so.
I know, we would love for you to come back.
If it's good, I'll try to bring it to Santa Fe. If it sucks, I'll quietly let it go away.
Well, I doubt that it will suck. Well, are you heading back soon, tomorrow? Is that when y'all go back?
Yeah, we got to get on Southwest, which is so sophisticated now. They don't even give you the big red boarding pass anymore with your number of shame on it to show how unorganized you were.
You mean that it's not like gigantic anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, everyone has a big red number sticking out the back of their pocket showing like if they're responsible and they signed up early enough or if they're just some loser lout that got there at the last minute and is 379.
You'll be on the tail.
Yeah. Your knees will be bashing up against some strangers.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And, you know, I just miss you so much. And I really wish that you would come back when you do the show in Seattle. Bring it back to Santa Fe.
That'd be really fun. And thanks for keeping it going in Santa Fe. And I don't know if it's still possible to vote for you for best DJ, but everybody, God, you got to vote for Honey Harris. I mean, come on. She's been keeping Santa Fe going for like years on nothing but a cigarette and a pack of Marlboros. Oh, wait, those are both cigarettes. You know what I mean.
And a cup of coffee and a pack of smokes.
Yeah.
Well, you come back anytime, okay?
Okay, great.
Georgia Ragsdale, nice to meet your girl, Chris. And thank you for all the coffee you brought us
from
Seattle.
Oh, yeah. We're having coffee.
Well, you have a safe trip back to Seattle.
Thank you. Bye, honey.
And if you want to friend her on Facebook, it's Georgia Ragsdale. You won't be disappointed.
Awesome.